Yeah. No banners, no waiting. I'm a little bit, because I'm about 5 minutes late, and I'm going to tell you why in a second. Let me finish this coffee up. My name is Joseph Louth, and welcome to Theologicus. I do not have my other light on. Mucho better. Again, I'm not going to get any prettier, but at least I'm not fading to the background, all right? All right, so, okay, so I am burning the midnight hour at the 11th hour trying to get my thoughts into today's study, into doctrine at the last minute. Mostly why there's really no excuse. I was like rewiring my entire desk area. Cable management, boring old stuff. Basically, it looked like a rat's nest. Now it no longer looks like a rat's nest. Praise be to God. And, but I was, like I said, I have a lot of this already. And as you can tell, this is July 26, 2018. To be honest with you, I had the thought of this series, it may be in a book form, a long time ago. And I don't know if I mentioned, I did mention this before, that I wrote a book based on this. But then, like, several years later, I've read it. I was like, this is complete trash. But what I did was threw away the trash, but kind of kept the format of it. And I'm glad I did. Now I'm taking this, wrapping it back up, and representing it. And I'm really, really happy with it. Okay. Now, all that to say is, before we get started, and I have no announcements. Before we let's go into prayer. Okay. Father God, we thank you. We praise you for those of us who believe and trust in your Son. The joy, the awe, the wonder, the goodness, the excitement that you are our Father and that we are your children. And God, because of sin, my story included, that the term father, the term dad, the term papa, it's not always clean cut. But let us remember that you are our good Father in heaven. You have never done wrong. You cannot lie. You won't abandon us. And you did so by sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to live and die for us so that we can be with you forever. So, Lord, wherever we are held up in thoughts, in earthly thoughts, in thoughts of sin, when we think of the word Father, Lord, would you come in and undo that? Would you come in and redeem that? Redeem our sight. Would you open our eyes, God? Would you change our minds? We need you. And it is in your Son's awesome name I pray. Amen. Now, I know I am not supposed to be doing this, but I need to turn down my gain. Okay, there we go. I had to do a filter on, I have a filter in OBS that like does some tweaking of the mic input, and then on my last recording, it might be a little high, so I tweaked it back down. Okay, it might not sound any different to you, but it's still me working out the kinks. So thanks for bearing with me. Oh my goodness, everybody's blowing me up. This is ridiculous. Okay, let me silence all that. All right, here we go. Today we. This is the third installment of this series, Doctrine Pray Like This, right? We're talking about the Lord's Prayer, and I made no bones about it. I'm walking through exactly the way Christ taught us, but I interjected something right in the middle. So if you look, go back and look at Matthew 6, if you looked at Matthew 6 and you look at the place where Christ is talking about, the teaching, when he teaches us the Lord's Prayer, he gives us a lot of ways. Here it is. don't pray like this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Here are the reasons why. God's our Father in heaven. He knows what you need before you say it, okay? Or before you even know it. So don't pray like this. Pray like this. Don't pray like that. Pray like this, okay? In the second installment, I'm not even remotely assuming that you are a believer in Christ. I'm going to assume that you may think you're a believer in Christ, but hold on a second. Mucho better. I'm going to assume, I can't make any assumptions. I'm not going to go into today's installment, Our Father in Heaven. I'm not going to go right into that. It's like, yeah. If you're listening to the channel, you must be a Christian. Therefore, let's just get to the Father part, right? No. We got to make sure our ducks in a row. You must believe and trust in the Son, Jesus Christ. Now, you're listening. You say, Joe, I believe. I believe and trust in the Son. My sins are upon the Son of God. They are upon the cross. When he was buried, my sins were buried with him. And now I have the gift of repentance. I have the Spirit dwelling in me. And I was like, fair enough. Okay, let's get to it. So Jesus Christ helped and encouraged us to pray like him. Now, let me sum up the Christ's teaching on prayer. So far, okay? Here it is. There's one bullet point. You must believe and trust in God. That's it. That's the message. So this teaching in prayer is assuming that you do believe and trust in the Holy One of God. Otherwise, your prayers are nothing but babble. That's the words of Christ. With all the major religions in the world, nothing sets apart Christianity more so than the forgiveness of sins, being made right standing with God by God, and the fact that we have access to the Father as a child would to their own dad. Mesmerizing. It blows my mind. Just even the concept, that concept blows my mind. Even the other faiths that begin with Abraham. And so atheists, in a lot of their arguments, will call Christianity Jewish and Muslim, they call it Abrahamic faith. Just wrap them all up. They like to like just group it all together like we're one and the same. And truth be told, we could not be more dissimilar. We cannot be more alike or more dissimilar just because, yeah, we do have a common bond that is in Abraham, but the way we view Abraham is completely different from one to the other. Take, for instance, the Jewish. For those of the Jewish faith, they do have a strong prevailing faith that God is indeed our Father for those who believe. But here's the kick. Without Christ, it is wholly incomplete. And then to the Muslim, and in Quran, and listen, I am not an expert in the Muslim faith, okay? But I know for a fact that Allah is never referred to as Father. Never. He's referred to a lot of things. Father is not one of them. Christ proclaims that for us to come to the Father, we must believe and trust in the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. John 20. But Mary, this is Easter Sunday. John 20 is Easter Sunday, okay? But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she was crying, she stooped to look into the tomb. She saw the two angels in white sitting where Jesus' body had been lying, one at the head and other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "Because they've taken away my Lord," she told them, "and I don't know where they put him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. "Woman," Jesus said to her, "why are you crying? Who is it that you are seeking?" Supposing he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you put him and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And turning around, she said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Now, I just got this, is that she cries out to him and starts to reach for him. Teacher, in like everything that Jesus taught, and she was so happy and so filled with hope that he is alive. But Jesus says, don't cling to me right now. Don't cling to me, since I have not ascended to the Father just yet, but go to my brothers and tell them that I'm ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And she told them what he had said to her. Do you see what the risen Christ says to Mary in verse 17? I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go tell my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. And one fell swoop, because of the perfect life, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our salvation of his people, that includes you and me, is secured. Part of the salvation is not merely we are saved from our sins, praise be to God. That's a lot, and that could be enough. But oh my gosh, you're not saved from sins, you're not saved from hell, you're not just saved from Satan and demons, you are saved to God. Now, if you're going to throw out some random faith out there, even certain sects who, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, do not believe Christ is God, okay? That's a whole other religion. There's a lot of similarities between us and terminology, just like us and Mormons. There's a lot of terminology that sounds the same but doesn't mean the same, okay? And this is where we start to distinguish in that. In other words, Jesus is telling Mary, I must ascend to my Father, and it will be at that moment you will have God as your Father. Now, this occurred on Easter Sunday, which he departs for a little while, but he does return. He doesn't fully ascend until much later. What happens on Easter weekend is a whole other doctrine series. That's going to be in the future, okay? I say that all to say, is that in one fell swoop, because we are saved from death, but we are also saved to God. And some theologians would say we're saved from God to God. Again, future doctrine series. We are adopted. Part of that salvation, part of being saved to God, is that we are now adopted into the family. We are adopted. Christ properly calls us, and I would say rightfully, because he did all the work, rightfully calls us his siblings, his brothers and sisters. A lot of old time, if you read a lot of Puritan works, Christ is referred to as the eldest brother. He is our oldest brother. And that would make God our Father. And that is amazing. And we're about to go into the triune, the triune God of adoption in just a moment, okay? Now, if you behold God, you trust in the Son, here's what you're going to gain as having God as Father, okay? First and foremost, you are fully alive. Romans 8, 12 and 13. So then, brothers and sisters, we are not obligated to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Because if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. 1 John 5:1, for those who believe in God were born of God, okay? Straight up, those are just straight facts, okay? Again, I'm going to make this point to drive the point home. When you are born destined to die, just like every other son of Adam is destined to die. God predestined us to be fully alive and truly alive in him. Once he gives us his Spirit, just like in Ezekiel 36 or Ezekiel 11, pick your choice, his Spirit is in us, and he gives us his heart, takes out our old heart, gives us his new heart. What does that make us? Truly alive. Life is not measured by the air we breathe, the thoughts that we think, all the philosophical arguments. None of that applies. It's the Holy Spirit within you. That makes us truly alive. point number two, you are being led by the Spirit of God. If God is your Father, you are being led by the Spirit of God. Romans 8:14, for all those who are led by God's Spirit are God's sons. If you, I'm gonna put it this way. Does the Bible say that your life is going to be now perfection, easy, awesome, cool, circumstances are neato, skeeto, and then no. Yet anybody who ever promises you that, just run the other way. That would be false teaching. You run the other way. And we're about to get to, God makes it very specific. If you follow him, you trust in him, you are going to be his child. Yet there is going to be suffering, but we're going to explain what that suffering is. In being led by the Spirit of God, you're starting to like now start to group all these. So let me take the discipline of God. And if you've forgotten the exhortation that addresses you, this is Hebrews 12. I've quoted this before. I'll quote again. Sorry. Woo. Addresses you as sons. My son, do not take the Lord's discipline lightly or lose heart when you are reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and punishes every son he receives. Endure suffering as a discipline. God is dealing with you as sons. For what son is there that a father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, which all receive, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we have human fathers discipline us and we respect them. Should we submit even more to the Father of spirits and live? For they discipline us for a short time based on what seemed good to them, but he does it for our benefit so that we can share in his holiness. No discipline seems enjoyable at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. I had mentioned on some other podcasts that I have referred to this, and I was like, I knew this by experience. And if I tell you the story, it might not seem like discipline of God, but I know it was. So I'm going to share the story. I'm just going to share it. This is when I was probably first saved, probably year one, year two. So I was leading a small group, a Bible study. It was like 30 people. I'm not exaggerating that. It was actually 30 people. The biggest reason why that got dispersed and got broken up was that like majority of the people went to go be missionaries in foreign lands. It was the craziest time. But praise be to God for that. I was leading a Bible study and doing a podcast. This is where I got the idea. You know what? I received the idea to be doing a podcast like some 10 or 20 years ago, 12 years ago, and that was from God. I wish I had continued, but neither here nor there. So, make a long story short, I want to protect those who may be involved. But long story short, I was actually in sin and kind of wrestling with that and not really repenting or whatever. I was kind of like halfway repenting and like changing my mind, but keep going back. And in one day I just like, God, I read in the Bible that I am your son and you're my father. And I'm going to put my trust in you and said, Lord, if I'm your son, discipline me and lead me where you want me to go. And I'm going to tell you next, I would say what maybe felt like a year was only maybe a couple months. And he went to work on me. He made it where he would use force. I will say this. The police were involved. The police were involved. That would prevent me or would discourage me from sinning against him. And then the moment that I became repentant and faithful, all of the circumstances seemed to dry up, just went away. That's crazy, right? And so that was a very vague story, but going through it, because I specifically asked for it, I received it. And I grew in just like Jesus, I grew in wisdom and stature before God. And I still praise God for that time. It wasn't painful. Yeah, it was painful. It was costly. But I, in the end, like, my heart knew what was the right thing to do. I was just choosing not to do it for one reason or another. Okay. But here's the next point. You don't get to descend back into slavery. Before we are saved by God, we are slaves to sin. We are slaves to the prince of the air. Romans 8:15, first part of that, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. If you ever read the Old Testament, you know that when you, I hate to use the saying, but it's very true. You read Exodus, it's like God rescues his people out of slavery, out of Egypt, but sometimes the Egypt never leaves the people. And God will go on to say in multiple books after Exodus, it's like a dog returning to his vomit every single time. We're rescued. We are called redeemed by God, but we don't act right from the get-go. We don't act like we're sons of God right away. Some by God's grace, some do, but the rest of us, man, it's a long, hard road, but praise be to God for that. Again, the Christian faith is not about what's not, but what it is, okay? Next point, you are adopted by God, and because you're adopted, you have full access to God as Father. You get to cry out to him. Romans 8:15b, instead, you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, okay? You get to cry out to him. You get to call on him. You get to pray, like, our Father in heaven. It's like, Father, we thank you, we praise you. Or, Father, help me. I don't know what I'm doing. Help me. Amen. That's the prayer. That's all you got to say. That's all you got to know. Next point. You are defended by God, in front of God, to the glory of God. Okay, so, and I forgot to put the follow-up verse on this, but Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. Okay, here we go. Let's see if I remember this. It is. Now, some of y'all may already know what's going to go down. If I can actually time, because I can't. Yeah, always miss it for some reason. Okay. I've never shared this analogy, and I'm not going to use analogy today, but this is when I think and dwell on Romans 8:15, for some reason, this passage always comes back to me, okay? So in Matthew 7, starting at verse 21, so Jesus Christ says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. Okay? Now, I say, why did I bring that up? Okay? I've heard pastors, preachers from the pulpit would say, they're like, if I stand before God, I can only plead the blood of the Lamb. I can only plead his righteousness, right? Here's the way I look at this. And I might go into detail. I may use this analogy later, but I take these two passages, Romans 8 and Matthew 7. Let's put them together. Okay. What I see, those who are not in Christ, who I see who have done a bunch of works thinking that because I went to church, I prayed, I read the Bible several times, I gave millions of dollars to my local church. Look at all the things that I've done. You know what that is? Think about that. you're going to stand before the awesome, almighty God. And if we know from Scripture, from the in Revelation, the great white throne of judgment, we're going to stand before not just Jesus, we're going to stand before the triune God, God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? Triune God. Do you actually think our minds are going to be able to behold that? No, it's nuts to think about that, right? And so your mind is like two ticks away, a tick away from breaking in half, trying to behold the glory of God. Do you actually think you're going to have the wherewithal, if you're in right standing with God, to have the wherewithal to actually put together like a sentence to like defend yourself in front of great and awesome and righteous God and holy, holy, holy is He? No, that's insanity. That is insanity. But what do we read? What do we read in Scriptures? For those who think they are right with God, they're going to try to defend themselves before God. Again, just think about that for a moment. That's ludicrous. But what does Romans 8:16 said? We don't defend ourselves. We don't have to speak. If we're right standing with Him, who's going to defend us before God? Romans 8:16, read it. The Spirit Himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. If you stand before God, if you're in Christ, you plead and you repented and you put your faith and trust and hope in Him, you stand before God Almighty, the triune God, and you're like, don't worry, don't spend your time here on earth worrying about what you're going to say. Why? Because the God Himself testifies with our spirit that we are His children. Always remember that. God is going to defend. You're going to be defended by God, in front of God, to the glory of God. Okay? And because we are God's children, here's the next benefit. Here's the next benefit of salvation. You're now co-heirs. Okay, you're, or another way to put it, joint heirs with the one who is the heir of all things. Romans 8:17 and 18. And if children, we're also heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And we'll say, okay, what does that mean? Look at Hebrews 1, starting in verse 1. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors by the prophets at different times and different ways. In these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. God has appointed Him, Jesus Christ, heir of all things being all things, and made the universe through Him. We are joint heirs with our eldest brother who has inherited all of the universe. So, makes you rethink wealth and health and success and all those things on this earth when the world is yours, because it belongs to our brother Jesus Christ, and we get to share in that. It's ours. It once belonged to Adam and he failed, but the second Adam did not fail. And now we're joint heirs with Him. And it's a beautiful thing. Now, for all the good things all the good things that you're thinking about in the joys and the blessings that we have, here's the other thing. Here's the real. You will suffer like Christ, okay? Continue on in Romans 8, starting in verse 17. If indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may be also glorified with Him. But look what Paul says. For I consider the sufferings at this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. For all what we think, what our hearts want other than God, like wealth, success, marriage, family, sex, anything on this earth that we can chase down. Praise, applause. Yeah. It's not going to be compared. We can't compare any of those good things given us to by God. They're incomparable to the glory that will be revealed to us, but also the sufferings, the effects of our sin, the effects of others' sins against us and in the world, all of those sufferings, no matter what happens to us, will still not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to us. Here's the next benefit. You will look like Christ. Romans 8:28-29. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. When we're talking about the firstborn, when Christ was born of Mary, okay, our salvation, all the saints of the Old Testament, their salvation wasn't complete until Christ came to earth, until Christ fulfilled the scriptures, okay? So there's that, the firstborn, really enough. And here's the thing, I'm not saying like he's the firstborn, but yet he was born after all the Old Testament saints. But remember what John said in John 1, he said, somebody after me came before me because he was actually before me. Because why? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Okay. But now that Jesus has come, now that he has lived, he has died, he has rose again, and he has ascended to the right hand of the Father, we are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Look at Psalm 17:15. Often I'll quote this, but I will see your face in righteousness, and when I wake, I will be satisfied with your presence. Okay? So to that end, we will be glorified in Christ. Continue on in Romans 8. For those he predestined, he also called. For those whom he called, he also justified. For those whom he justified, he also glorified. Look at the present. Again, look at the past tense. Predestined, called, justified, glorified. And it's like, we are already glorified? How does that even be? Because God does not lie. What he says will come to pass. That's how secure our salvation is, so secure that it is proper tense for Paul to say we are glorified with Christ. Okay? But let me read the psalm to you. Psalm 16, starting at verse 5. Lord, you are my portion and my cup of blessing. You hold my future. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I will bless the Lord who counsels me, even at night when my thoughts trouble me. I will let the Lord guide me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My body also rests secure. For you will not abandon me to Sheol. You will not allow your faithful one to see decay. In Christ, you revealed the path of life to me. In your presence is abundant joy. And at your right hand are eternal pleasures. Now, I have encouraged you to, as we proceed, if you do not know how to pray, you I prayed before, but I really don't know how to, or I want to learn how to pray like Jesus prays. What I've encouraged you, I have my own prayers here, and I'm not going to recite them for you. I want you, from these three lessons, go and pray on your own. Now you know how not to pray. You must believe in God to pray to God, and now address him as Father. So you say, for one way to pray is saying, my Father, just call him my father. And what would you like to say to your father? My father, thank you. My father, I bless your name. My father, I love you. Amen. Thank you so much for hanging. Thank you so much for being here. Again, all my notes are at the on theologic.us. Now, this particular one, you're going to have to wait for a couple minutes. I haven't committed this page just yet, but it will be up and shortly. If you have any questions, comments, or whatever, just leave a comment at Facebook, leave a message on YouTube, or just send me a DM, send me an email, whatever. It's all on the website. Would love to hear from you. Join us tomorrow for Gospel Meditations in 1 Timothy 2. Hope to hear from you later, guys.